Well, good morning, boys and girls. I was going to say, fresh and well you're looking after your week's holiday. But there's some pupils at home today not feeling fresh and well. Well, we will remember them and trust the Lord will lay his hand upon them. And they'll be back in school very soon. Now we're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 10. And we're returning to the subject that we have been looking at, children in the Gospels who met the Lord Jesus. Not many children had that privilege. I mean, who actually met him in the flesh, saw him with their eyes. Now, if you're saved this morning, you have met the Lord Jesus, and you have seen him, but you have seen him by faith in the Bible. You have looked upon what the Bible tells us about him, and you have seen him as he is revealed in Holy Scripture. And you have met him. You came to his feet, if you're saved. You spoke with him. But you will understand that the children we're reading about in our studies had a wonderful, wonderful privilege of actually looking upon the Savior. There was only one generation in all the world who had that privilege, and that was the people amongst whom the Savior walked and preached almost 2,000 years ago. It's quite remarkable. So we're looking at Mark chapter 10, verse 13 is where we're going to begin a brief reading, reminding you of what it is we're looking at. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. That was the reason they brought, not just to look at them, not just to say, oh, this is a great preacher that has suddenly come amongst us. You remember in years to come that you actually saw him and heard him speak. That's what people do when they go to monuments and beautiful areas of scenery. They go to look. But these parents brought the children to the Lord Jesus, not just to see him, but that he might touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But, that's a big word, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children. That word suffer means permit, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to all our heart. Now, we have already had a look at these verses the last time I was with you, 2 weeks ago. And I told you then that I had three things I wanted us to look at in these verses. And the first thing I considered with you was how that little children should be brought to the Lord Jesus. That's why we have Sunday schools. That's why we have Christian schools. That's why we want parents to bring their children to church and not bring with them little books and toys and teddy bears, because we want the children to listen. We want the children to listen. You may not realize it, but sadly it's a habit that has been formed in many churches. Christian parents bring their children and they say, ah, well, they're too small to listen, so I better bring something to entertain them. What a shameful thing. These parents didn't bring teddy bears with them that day they went to meet the Lord Jesus, because they wanted the children to hear him, and they wanted the children to see him, and they wanted the children to listen and obey him and be touched by him. So we looked at that first point. Now we come to a second point, and that is the disciples of the Lord Jesus, Christians, can act foolishly, as these disciples did. We're talking about Peter and James and John, men who ought to have known better, but they acted foolishly in that they tried to stop the children coming. We'll look at that in a moment or two. But it is to be noted the Lord rebuked them. The Lord rebuked them. That's a strong word. So, let's consider this. The first thing I want you to look at is the phrase, when Jesus saw it. Verse 14. When Jesus saw it. That's to be noted. In other words, the Savior was occupied with receiving some of the children, and then he noticed that the disciples were acting in the very opposite way to what he was doing. They were trying to stop the parent. They were doing that which they never thought of asking the Lord whether or not what they were doing was right. Would you like us to keep them back from you? No, they just decided, we'll do this. We'll stop the parents. We'll chase them away. In fact, the same word appears concerning the actions of the disciples. They rebuked the parents, which led to them being rebuked by the Lord. So they were saying to the parents, what are you doing? Go away! You shouldn't be doing this. That's what they were saying, which was the very opposite of what the Savior wished to take place. They were close by the Savior. He lifted up his eyes and he saw them. They would have been no further away than the back wall of this room, I would think. But being so close to the Savior, a couple of steps would have brought them right up to him, and they could have said, Lord, will we keep them back? Would you like us to keep them back from you? Or do you want to meet them, these parents and their children? But they didn't. They just acted without ever consulting the Lord. Christians do that quite regularly. A thought comes into their head. They think it's a good thought, and they don't stop for a moment to say, Lord, here's what I'm thinking. Would this be right? Would this be the proper thing to do? Oh, no. They don't consult with the Lord. They just act according to their own thinking. Never do that, boys and girls. At all times, before you take a step in life, ask the Lord. Seek his counsel. These disciples were very much mistaken about the mind and the will of the Savior. They were doing the very opposite of what he wanted. That's a dreadful thing, boys and girls. It's a dreadful thing to be doing the opposite to what God wants you to do. God's looking down on you from heaven, and he sees you going that way when you should be going that way. Doing something that you should not be doing. That's a terrible thing. That's what the disciples are doing. Now listen, here I am talking to school children. And let us remember that these were adult. These were saved men. Mature men. And they were acting in this fashion. So that if big people can do that which is wrong and act contrary to the mind and will of God, then how much more likely is it for we boys and girls to do wrong? There would be a bigger excuse for them doing wrong, though it would still be wrong. But we've got to learn from the fact that here were adults doing wrong, acting contrary to the mind of Christ, and if that's the case, we need to watch out, don't we? We need to think about this. And as I said already, this happened only a short distance from the Savior. These were men who walked in the company of the Savior from day to day. They started off that day in the company of the Savior. And I would suggest to you that before they went out, the Savior would say, let's have a word of prayer. Just as we have started here today with prayer, asking for God's blessing. But even when we have prayed, we can sometimes still go wrong. We can sometimes still go wrong. They were only a short distance away from the Savior, yet they were acting contrary to his mind and will. The disciples were seeking to hinder the approach of the mothers and the fathers with their infants. And they were doing this not because they were cruel, hard-hearted men. No, they thought they were doing right. They thought this was what would please the Lord. I can almost hear Peter or James or John saying, I think we should stop these people crowding in upon the Lord Jesus. It'll annoy him. It'll upset him. Let's stop them. And what they did, they thought, was right. Not because they hated children, or they thought they were doing what's right. And they acted without consulting the Lord. And there's a lesson there for us, boys and girls. Our minds don't function as they should, that is, subject to the will of God. The Bible tells us that God has said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And that being the case, if we were to act ever according to what we think, we'd be wrong. We'd be going contrary to God. So we must stop and say, Lord, I was thinking of doing this. Would this be right? Oh, how that would please the Lord, boys and girls, if we were to consult him. The second thing I want you to notice is that the Savior was displeased at what he saw the disciples do. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Put a circle around the word much. It wasn't that he was just a little annoyed or vexed by what they were doing. He was very much, and consequently he rebuked them. Boys and girls, this is a strong expression of the Savior's displeasure. The actions of the disciples really did displease the Lord. Listen to me. This ought to please you. This ought to fill you with excitement. The Lord very much wants to meet you. And if anybody tries to stop him meeting you, stop you coming to him, he will get angry with them. Isn't that something? The Lord is anxious to meet with you. He wants to bless you. And he will not be pleased if somebody hinders you, whoever that somebody may be. And that includes even good people, like Peter, James, John, Matthew, all the others, who acted foolishly. Good people can act foolishly and hinder children. Now, I would say you have a picture here of a future day. Think about it. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he spoke, rebuked them. You know, there's a day coming, boys and girls, when all mankind will be spoken to by the Lord. Judgment Day. And if they have done wrong, he'll rebuke them. He'll rebuke them. We ought to live with that day before us all the time. I have no doubt that after this happened, the disciples would have been much more careful before they did something to ask the Lord, is this all right? This experience would have taught them, I should have consulted the Lord, and I will do that from now on, or try to do that from now on. Will you learn that lesson today? You need to consult the Lord every step you take, that you might do what is right. One last thing. The Savior then took up the children in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. He removed the hindrance to that happening. The disciples were getting in his way. They were stopping him doing what he wanted to do. If you're not saved today, there are those who do not want you to be saved. Do you know that? There are those who do not want you to be saved. And they will try to hinder you coming to Christ. And I'm talking about more than men and women. And maybe boys and girls who wouldn't like you to get saved. I'm talking about the devil. And even more than that. An old heart that's sinful. It doesn't want you to get saved. You know, in the years I have been a preacher, many times at a meeting like this, or a service on the Lord today, I have had an opportunity to have a wee word with a boy or girl who have not yet got saved. And I said to them, did you hear the gospel this morning or this evening? Did you hear what the Bible says? It's telling you that you need to come to the Lord Jesus. Did you hear that? And I have seen little boys and little girls immediately step back. I have to go to Mama. I have to go to Daddy. We're going home. They didn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to hear from me that they needed to be saved. Because their old heart, sinful heart, didn't want them to get saved. So I tell you, there are those who would stop you coming to Christ, just like these foolish disciples, or these disciples who were acting foolishly. But the Savior had his way. Praise God for that. He will gather to himself those who are his. And that day, we are told in verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Oh, see the picture there. See the picture. The Savior, when the little one came to him, one after another, he took them up in his arms. He took time about it, didn't he? Didn't happen in a minute or two. He must have spent quite a few minutes, maybe more, maybe hours there with them, because there would have been quite a number. And he would have taken each one up in his arm. And for a sweet and blessed moment, that child was carried by the Lord, resting in the arms of the Lord. And he put his hands upon them, and then he blessed them. He pronounced a blessing upon them. If you're saved today, those boys and girls, you'll meet them one day, for they're in heaven. Anyone who's lifted up into the arms of Christ and upon whom his hands are laid and a blessing is bestowed, they go to heaven. Has that happened to you? Have you been lifted up by the Lord? That's what happened that day. There's a lovely verse in the Old Testament, because you see, the same truth is found in Genesis right through the Bible to Revelation. Same truth. Some people think, well, in the Old Testament one thing was believed, but in the New Testament we believe something different. Wrong. The same message from Genesis to Revelation. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse 27 we read, "The eternal God is thy refuge and underneath of the everlasting arm." That's how it is with the Christian. They have made God their refuge. I don't know if you followed anything in the news in recent days about the horrendous floods in Spain, out of nowhere suddenly. It must have been rain in the mountains that gathered up and rushed down their streams and rivers and flooded cities. The streets were rivers. Hundreds of cars were washed away and people in them. I read, and it was very distressing, how some people, seeing the floodwaters beginning to rise, ran to get their cars in an underground car park. And of course, the waters followed, they're trapped, and they're still discovering the bodies of those people who were drowned. They were seeking refuge from the floods, but they chose the wrong place. We need a refuge. The Lord Jesus is the only refuge. The eternal God, he's the only refuge. And when you make him your refuge, you're in his arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you ever been carried by daddy or by mommy? Of course you have. But there's one thing happens when you're carried by daddy or mommy. After a while, daddy says, or mommy says, "I'm tired carrying you, get down and walk." And they set you down. Because their arms are tired holding you. That's not the case with God. His are the everlasting arms. He never gets tired carrying his people. Oh, boys and girls, take heed of what it is we read here this morning. And may the Lord bless you through his word. Let's bow together in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for your mercy. We thank thee for the kindness that we read of here in this passage. What love thou didst show to those children. What a privilege, Lord, was theirs. And here today, Lord, you desire to bestow on these children the same privilege. I thank thee, Lord, that there are some here who are trusting thee. And they're in your arms, but I pray for each one that's not. Lord, draw them to thyself. Save them by thy grace, we pray. Hear prayer today for our school, for all that concerns it, especially those youngsters who are unwell today. May they be blessed and touched and healed very quickly. Look on us kindly then. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.